You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Rachel Crothers was among America's most successful playwrights between 1906 and 1937, when nearly 30 of her plays opened on Broadway, among them A Little Journey, which was a finalist for the very first Pulitzer Prize for Drama. You may have never heard of her, but thankfully the Mint Theater has, and they have mounted a surprisingly fresh revival of A Little Journey, which runs through July 10th. I'm very happy to welcome both Samantha Soul, who stars as Julie Rutherford, and Laurie Birmingham, who plays Mrs. Welsh, to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Dare I ask whether either of you had ever heard of Rachel Crothers before you got these parts?
Had not.
So now that you've thought a lot about her, and have you read any of the other plays? Susan and God, for example?
I've read Susan and God.
That's the only one I've read, too.
Yeah. Well, that's probably your most famous play.
I think so, yeah.
How would you describe her work?
Well, I think it's surprising. It's some of the format of this era of playwriting is utilized by her, but the characters that she's putting into that format are sort of farther on the fringe of the bullseye of society, and I think that's really fascinating and presents you with situations that you don't find in other plays from this era.
It's the characters for me, I think, that astound me the most. You know, there's 14 people in the play, but they're all developed fully, you know, and so often you'll see smaller characters that don't get their say, but everybody's got their moments in this show.
It's interesting that A Little Journey and then Susan and God were made into movies at one point, and that makes me wonder why so few people actually know about Crothers and why her plays have largely disappeared, because seeing the play, you understand why Terry Teachout wrote in the Wall Street Journal, "Imagine a cross between Our Town and The Women, and you get an idea of how A Little Journey plays."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's high praise.
I think it is. And she was quite prolific in what she accomplished. So it is sort of amazing.
And directing her work, too. She directed a lot of those plays as well. You know.
And directed some of the most famous actresses of her time, Ethel Barrymore, Catherine Cornell, Tallulah Bankhead, who appeared in her plays.
It's remarkable.
Who played your character? Do you know?
I've tried desperately not to think about that. I don't know, actually.
So you'd be really freaked out if it was Catherine Cornell?
Those are kind of big shoes to fill.
But isn't one of the advantages of doing something like this, a play that hasn't been produced again since 1919, it's kind of like doing a play for the first time.
Yeah, I think it...
You could create your characters and make them your own.
Yes, and Jackson Gay, the director, was very in support of our doing that and really bringing ourselves to the roles and allowing who we are now in this day and age to inform the choices we were making as those people.
Because the movie of Little Journey is lost, just whatever, it's gone, we couldn't look at that. And sometimes it's better not to anyway. But all we had was a couple little drawings, little cartoon pictures that had both of our characters in it. And that's about all we had to go on. So it really was a new creation for us.
Yeah. Well, like The Women, this has a lot of very witty lines and snappy dialogue. And a lot of those lines are delivered by you, Laurie.
Yeah. So, and I'm happy about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I'm a comedian at heart, but I love doing that stuff.
But she must have loved strong women characters.
Oh, I think so.
Maybe that's why so many of the great actresses were in her plays. I'm afraid to call it comedy. This is like a drama and a comedy.
It kind of is. It toes the line for sure, I think. We like to sort of jump from one side to the other throughout the performance.
And interestingly, the audiences have all been quite different. What some people find funny, others don't. We'll get different laughs in different spots. So it's always fresh every night. We never know. It's not like set laughter sort of stuff, you know, when you get in that type of place. So I think that's really neat, the way each audience comes along.
Well, it's full of a lot of personality. So I think people you respond personally to the humor and to the situations and to the people in these situations. It's not as set as some of the other sort of like 1-2 punch.
Right.
Well, there are some gag lines, but a lot of it is more just ironic situations.
Yeah.
And people say things that aren't intended to be funny, but they're funny because we understand the character.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a kind of a classic story about a bunch of strangers from very different backgrounds, all on a train, traveling from Grand Central to the West Coast. It goes all the way back to Chaucer and Boccaccio. But It actually predates Grand Hotel.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And it's interesting, Laurie, that Mrs. Welch isn't known by her first name.
No.
But she seems to know or find out everything about everybody else in the train car.
even when she tells, the other wealthy gentleman on the train to call her something, she says, call me Welch. You never hear it. So I made her name Adele.
For yourself?
Yes.
She tries to present herself as the height of sophistication.
Yep.
But she uses words like ain't a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether that was an upper class affectation of the time.
There are a lot of them in there. Those, don't you know, and things like that. Those were certainly affectations of the time. But she's not from money. She's definitely nouveau riche, and I think she was maybe born in Kansas City. So that's why she's so offended when he offers her the paper.
But she keeps on talking about how she's very much a New Yorker.
Oh, yes. Now she is. Like me in life. I'm new to New York, so I understand that.
Samantha, your character, Julie, is a well-educated woman who doesn't have a lot of money. And she reminded me of some of Edith Wharton's characters.
Yeah, me too. I think there's a lot. There's Bleak House in this, for sure. But I also was going back and rereading Wings of the Dove, and there's some of that in there as well. And
well, thanks for the fact that she doesn't end up in the same way.
Yes, exactly.
But we get an idea of what she's all about at the very beginning. Yeah. There's this very public farewell at the station, and
horrible.
We learn she's not leaving because she wants to. She's going somewhere she'd rather not be.
Yeah. Well, I think her situation is one that, you're born into a society and you're born into a family that you don't live up to the expectations of that family. You were meant to, in this day and age, marry well, and she failed at that one task in life. And all she's been trained or prepped to do is that, and she has no other facility or skill. And so I think her options are shockingly limited. Even, a high society person, someone who's been educated, still has no options if the one plan falls apart for you. So,
well, the man who she's supposed to marry, who is of her class, we figure out right away, is not the ideal man.
No, you don't think so?
Well, he says he loves her, and yes. At the same time,
he'd probably
not willing to commit.
Yes, no, I think not. I mean, I think it's one of those things, like, initially, she looked like a good match, and then as you learn more, she's a ward of an aunt, and she actually doesn't have a lot of money, and she's not coming into what he thought she might in the long term, and so it becomes not a fruitful match for him.
Well, actually, the character is very well drawn out by Rachel Crothers, but in the case of Mrs. Welch, you say you had to give her a first name. Did you have to kind of work out other things about her?
I had to work out a lot of stuff about her, yeah. I love this so much because Samantha and I, our characters are so connected by this sort of really strong umbilical cord of the woman who has to make it. And I think I respond a lot to what's going on with her.
Well, you're very judgmental of her character.
I'm very judgmental.
Even though you have no reason to be.
Well, I think I might have some reason to be. That's what I've kind of made up in my mind. I think I was in her exact place. Maybe not exact, but very similar, and had to break through a wall. And so I understand her in a way that probably nobody else on the train does.
Can we talk about the set, which is kind of extraordinary? You want to describe it?
You're here. It's the whole play is set on a train, and so initially when they were talking about how to do it, do you do it linear? Do you do it proscenium? How do you create that sense of claustrophobia and just being all tied up together? And so the design team came up with this kind of ingenious concept of building it on a carousel.
Yeah.
So it moves on an axis. It's a rotation.
They call it a donut. I love that.
Right. Yeah.
It moves sometimes, not all the time.
Yes, not
we
constant,
always, but we
not
understand
constant.
That the train is moving throughout the play, except when it's at a station.
Yeah, and so it can be manually moved to bring certain scenes into focus and forward. So it can function like a film reel almost, to sort of spiral forward and check in on these people in this berth, in this compartment, and then you spin the other way and you check in on this compartment.
Because this almost is like a film in some ways.
Very
because
much.
It cuts from scene to scene, mm-hmm. from character to
yes.
character. Were you able to do much rehearsal on it, or was it being constructed?
No, none. It was being constructed while we were in the room. So it was often a lot of everybody getting up and walking around a circle,
carrying our bags,
carrying
to the
everything
next
with you. Exactly. Clapping.
And then we're talking about 14 characters. So
yes.
I was talking earlier about the choreography in All's Well That Ends Well,
yes.
at the Delacorte, which is a huge theater. But I'd imagine there was a certain amount of choreographing for this as well. Otherwise, you would have stepped on each other.
For the exact opposite reason, that the space is quite confined, and that was very much on purpose in terms mm-hmm. of creating a space where these people have to navigate each other in intimate quarters. And so, yes, figuring out how to function in that space and how to move within that space was really quite quite an adventure, and Jackson really took that by the reins, which was
and
really
bless
great.
Her heart, because it drove her a little crazy too, I think. It was hard to watch, you know, to see it from a perspective, you know, but she did a great job.
But it's
job.
Wonderful. Having the set in the round means that you get a depth, I think, from the audience, right. where you're getting to see what's right up in front of you and what's the focus, but then there's also, you're getting a sense of where everybody else is all the time. They don't ever leave the train. They're there with you all the time.
There's no walls.
Yeah.
Well, the Mint Theater is a rather intimate space.
Very.
And you've both done a fair amount of theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
This has to be a little easier because you don't really have to reach a back row.
Oh, it's lovely. It mm-hmm. means that you can be be very intimate in your acting, and you know that they're right there with you. I mean, the front row is maybe 15 feet away.
I don't even think that.
Not even that.
I'd say maybe half that.
So it's right there with you, which means that you can be very delicate mm-hmm. in a lot of the shifts in this, which with a material like this is just delightful because it means that you can paint with a really fine-tipped brush.
Yes.
You've been in quite a few plays in New York stage, Dinner at 8 at Lincoln Center, Gabriel. Just thought that was fabulous, by the way.
Thank you.
The Voicy Inheritance at the Atlantic Theater Company. Mm-hmm. Those are very, very different kinds of productions.
Very.
Is that part of the fun?
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. I was certainly diagnosed, I think, ADD or something like that early on in my life. And so I love this format of a life so that you can bounce from sort of one style to the other. And I'm always ready for a taste of something very different right after whatever I finish.
Yeah. Well, in the past, almost every actor started on the stage and then some went into film or television. But we don't see that as much these days. But it's my sense that you're career has been mostly theater.
It has. I mean, I went to Juilliard, so I came straight there from high school and came out of school, and I was in Dinner at 8 the first year that I was out of school, and it was an unbelievable gift, and it sort of helped launch me here, and I was able to sort of propel that from one job to the other. And I love being on stage because it gives you – you actually get to take – the journey, unfortunately for that pun, but mm-hmm. you get to go on the ride with these characters. And in film, it's broken up, and it's really an editor's medium. But on stage, you get to really live with these people.
Laurie, your background's mostly in regional theater?
Mostly regional. I just moved to New York about a year ago, but I'm a classically trained actress. I went through the professional theater training program when it was in Milwaukee. It's now at Delaware under Sandy Robbins.
There are people who will tell you that all the most exciting stuff is being done in regional theater. Of course, we New Yorkers have to take that on their word because...
You know what? I used to say that, Leonard. I used to say that, and then I came to New York and started seeing things here, and I have to say there's a whole different thing going on here in New York City.
Whoa! Yeah. You jumped ship. I jumped ship.
I jumped. Sorry.
Well, it's nice to do both.
Yeah.
But audiences are different, aren't they?
There are great things going on out there, too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but this is only a limited run?
Yes, only a limited run.
July 10th. What are you doing after? Do you know?
Who knows? We'll see.
Had lots of auditions these last few weeks, so we're waiting to hear. Yeah.
Well, this is a wonderful production, and
you're
both great in it.
Thanks.
And Laurie, you do get your laughs. You're not supposed to get too many laughs, Samantha.
No,
if you get too many
I'm carrying the weight of other things.
If you get laughs, you've done something wrong.
Every now and then when I have my couple little moments where there's some wit and humor and sharp tongue, and it's really thrilling to get to do that as well.
And I've heard we've made a few people cry at the end.
Yes, I think so.
Well, the play deepens. Yeah. Samantha Soule, S-O-U-L-E, she plays Julie Rutherford, and Laurie Birmingham plays Mrs. Welsh in A Little Journey by Rachel Crothers, which is now at the Mint Theater at 311 West 43rd Street. Unfortunately, it closes on July 10th, so you don't have a lot of time to see it. If you want ticket information, go to our show page at WNYC.org.